It's hard to put into words just how much the August 18th landslides changed Sitkins and their relationship to the land. Take Assemblymember Matthew Hunter. The lifelong Sitkin mentioned how he accompanied a Department of Transportation geologist to survey the South Kramer Avenue area.
Hiking up around the landslide after the event, we got to talking, and the guy said, yeah, see all the flat area along the shorelines? That's all landslide deposit. So you wait long enough and something's going to fall, be it a tree or a rock or a hillside. And I guess it opened my eyes, opened all of our eyes to that risk.
But that risk is difficult to quantify. You can't tell the dangers of a slope just by looking at it, unless you're NASA.
The Jet Propulsion Lab of NASA flew their P-band radar system over the Sitka area twice to see if they could ascertain any further creep of our slide area.
That's Tori O'Connell, research director at the Sitka Sound Science Center. In the wake of the landslide, the center coordinated a geo-task force to pool landslide research from NASA, the U.S. Forest Service, and a variety of other federal and state agencies. Presenting their findings to the assembly, O'Connell said that the rain event that caused the landslide, 3 inches in 6 hours, is rare, happening every 45 years. She added that the center is working with the National Weather Service to develop a better warning system for landslides.
You might have noticed that since this slide, the National Weather Service hasn't included landslide warnings in their weather reports on the marine weather. The hope is that with sighting of more weather stations, the modeling can make these warnings more specific.
With specificity in mind, the assembly also considered a resolution to develop a community-wide hazard map for Sitka. Similar to the South Kramer landslide report, which was prepared by geotechnical expert Bill LaProde over the winter at the city's request, this report would do a similar analysis along the entire road system and map low, medium, and high-risk areas. Shannon and Wilson, LaProde's firm, estimated it would cost $150,000. Mayor Mim McConnell felt this was the more affordable option than going parcel by parcel. The South Kramer report alone cost $45,000.
There's people that maybe would want to know this but would not be able to afford to have a study done. And I think that would not be very fair.
The pros of this kind of map are pretty obvious. It would enhance safety of people and property. But the cons are manifold, too. Here's Megan Bozak, Planning and Community Development Director, over the phone before the meeting.
Some of the cons could possibly be impact on property values and future sales of property. Could be possible limitations on use of property or rights to property, and then certainly there could be limitations or impacts on development costs.
Assemblymember Stephen Eisenbeiss worried that in pursuing this information, the Assembly would one day order people to abandon their homes and would eliminate land for development altogether. Bozak assured him that regulations of any kind would come well after the mapping process, and Assemblymember Bob Petruski had this to say.
I've also had those same thoughts, Stephen, and it keeps coming back to me, though, if I don't know that I live in a risky area, I can't make that decision on my own, whether to stay there or not. In the discussions I've had, I don't foresee the city moving people out of their homes. But again, if I've got a family, I think I want to know.
That comment steered the assembly towards unanimous support of a community-wide hazard map on first and final reading. I should mention, too, there's state forces behind this project. Alaska's Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys, or DGGS, requested that FEMA conduct a multi-hazard assessment of Sitka. That would include landslide mapping, avalanche, and flooding hazards. It remains to be seen whether FEMA would oversee or possibly fund this project, but we do know that a map won't be created anytime soon. Which is why the Assembly's next item of business was to award a contract to Shannon and Wilson to perform a debris flow risk analysis at the Gary Paxton Industrial Park. Their administrative building, which was damaged by the August 18th landslide, is up for sale. City Administrator Mark Gorman said the city would not sell that or any other building at GPIP without a risk assessment first.
Our economy is struggling. We have an opportunity to start moving property again in the park, and it's not going to happen unless we do the risk mapping.
Eisenbeiss asked, who's telling us this is a must-do? City Attorney Robin Schmid chimed in, I am.
Trying to protect the assets of the city is my job, and we've got a building down there that was damaged by a landslide. It just wouldn't be prudent at all to turn around and sell it, have another slide hit it. We'd be looking at liability.
Assemblymember Aaron Swanson asked why, if a community-wide assessment is on the horizon, the city should spend GPIP's undesignated working capital on this project. Gorman reasoned that this analysis would be more specific and offer designs for mitigation projects. In the end, the assembly voted to award the contract 5-2, with Eisenbeiss and Swanson opposed. With these proposals, the assembly continues to build upon the hard lessons learned from the August 18th landslides. It seems their hope is that, even if the mountains come down, the city has done the work to protect property and people down below. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.